Thought there was special music, sorry. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome once again. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And as we get started this morning, I would like to open up with a word of prayer. So join me as we go before the holy throne of grace. Most precious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Father, what an honor, what a privilege it has been this morning to lift up the glorious name of Jesus. Father, as we just sang, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Father, the only hope that we have is in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for the blood that he shed on the cross, on Calvary, so that we might have forgiveness of sins. Father, we thank you for the glories and for the riches that we have seen in the character and the beauty and the person of Jesus Christ as we've walked through this wonderful gospel thus far. And Lord, I pray as we look to your word now that your Holy Spirit would speak, that your Holy Spirit, Father, would open our eyes, would shine the light of your truth into our hearts. Father, there are some here this morning that had a rough week. There are some here this morning, Father, who are really struggling. There are some here this morning, Father, who need to be encouraged, who need to be strengthened, who need to have their eyes realigned and centered on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Father, may you do that this morning. As we read your word, may the truth of your word sink deep into our hearts. May it penetrate through our trials and through our problems and through whatever difficulties we're going through. And may Christ be exalted. May he be lifted up, and may we see him for the fullness of all that he is. Bless this time, Spirit, work for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In John chapter 8, this morning we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 20. So if you're there, let's begin reading God's word. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. We are continuing to look at Jesus Christ during this wonderful Feast of Tabernacles or Feast of Booths. It feels like we've been here for quite a while, and we have. In the beginning of chapter 7, we saw Christ show up at this festival, this week-long festival of the Jews. And we saw the interaction that he's been having with the Jews, and he's been proclaiming to them who he is, and he's been proclaiming to them the truth, and he's been calling them to himself, reminding them that he's the living water and that he's only going to be here for a short amount of time, and he's urging and calling people to come to him. And if you were with us last week, we looked at John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, And we're not going to go into that again, but we noted that breaks the flow of John's gospel here. So when we come to verse 12, we're continuing this story. Jesus is still at the Feast of Tabernacles. He's still there, and he's still talking to these Jews, and he's still teaching them and drawing them to himself. And we come this morning to John 8:12, which is the second I am statement of Jesus Christ. And I want to remind you that the I am statements of Christ, the seven statements of Christ throughout the Gospel of John, they do two things. They show us who God is. It reveals to us the character and the nature of God, but it also shows us how Christ relates to mankind in salvation. So there's two goals that are accomplished. We learn about God, and we learn how he relates to mankind, specifically in salvation. Jesus here proclaims one of the most well-known statements that Christ ever makes. I am the light of the world. We're all very familiar with that. If you grew up in church, you probably remember singing songs like "This Little Light of Mine" or "Light of the World, Who Stepped Down into Darkness." We're all very familiar with this term, but my concern this morning is that we haven't fully grasped the weight of what Christ is saying here. Because you see, what Christ is saying here when he says, I am the light of the world, it isn't some fuzzy, warm, abstract idea. The statement that Christ makes here is one of monumental proportions. And it carries along with it the full weight of Scripture. And that's what I want to show you this morning. This proclamation of Christ, of being the light of the world, is so profound and is so rich and is so deep that if you were a Jew, it would have knocked you back off your feet. And this morning, we're going to be digging through the Old Testament to see exactly how profound and how rich this term is. And I pray that it would be a blessing to your heart. So in verse 12, John begins by reminding us. He says, again, Jesus spoke to them. Remember back in verse 37, Jesus is here at the last day of the feast. He has already cried out, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And he was tying himself to that ritual during the feast where the priest would take the water and they would pour it over the altar and it would flow down temple. And that reminds us of passages like Ezekiel, where in the millennial kingdom a river was coming out of the temple, and as the river came out there were trees and life and everything was fruitful and blossoming. And it talks about the fruitfulness, the faithfulness, and the life-giving power of God. Christ ties himself to this festival, but he does it again here. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, there are three ways I want us to look at this morning that will help us kind of peel away at the weight behind this statement. And for that, we have to look at the feast once again. We have to look at some Old Testament stories, and then we have to walk through some passages in the Old Testament. So those are the three things we're going to do this morning, and I will admit that originally I had planned this whole sermon to be just on John 8, verse 12. But we'll see how the Spirit leads. Maybe we'll get through verse 20. But we're going to begin by looking at the feast and looking at one more element of the feast. On the last day of the feast, after the priest had poured out the water, after they had performed all the other rituals, there was a point in the feast at night where a celebration began. There were four towering candles called calabras that long wooden posts, and on the top of these posts were these large basins. And they would light the top of these basins, and the fire would light up the temple, and the men would begin dancing with torches and singing, and the Levitical orchestra would begin playing music, and it was a giant party. It was a celebration with these lights flashing and these torches and men dancing everywhere praising God. And as all this is going on, Jesus proclaims, I am the light of the world. He reminds the Jews in their celebration of this glorious light that it is He who truly is the light in this dark world. But why were the Jews doing this? What is the significance of light? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 13, and we're going to begin our journey through the Old Testament very quickly. Exodus chapter 13, and my goal this morning, as I stated, is for you to catch the weight of this statement. I want you to see how significant light is in the Old Testament as it pertains to God. And we see this first in Exodus chapter 13. Let me bring you up to speed where we're at. The Israelites are leaving Egypt. God has already dealt the plagues out to the Egyptians. The firstborn child has died. Pharaoh has finally given up, and he says, Moses, take your people and get out of here. And as the children of Israel are leaving Egypt, they didn't just wander aimlessly. They were led by God, and that's where we see here. In Exodus chapter 13, beginning in verse 20, we read, and they moved on from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord, Yahweh, went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light that they might travel by day and by night. So here, all the way in the Old Testament, remember that the Jews at this festival are celebrating and remembering how God had led them out of Egypt. Remember the Feast of Booths, they would dwell in tents because it reminded them that they dwelled in tents when they came out of Egypt. So when they light these candles, they're reminded of Yahweh, who was their light, who literally went before them as a light and led them out of Egypt. We find this later on in Nehemiah. When Nehemiah goes back to help rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, we read in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 11, and you divided the sea before them so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and you cast their pursuers into the depths as a stone into mighty waters. By a pillar of clouds you led them in the day, and by a pillar of fire in the night to light for them the way in which they should go. Remember the Jews, they know the Old Testament. They remember this story. They're in a feast celebrating how God had led them out. A pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So at the very least, Jesus' proclamation of I am the light draws us to think about God, Yahweh, who was the light who led the Israelites out of Egypt. Notice very carefully here that Jesus is making a divine claim to being Almighty God. I am the light, the same light that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Turn with me to Psalm 27. We've seen the story. We've seen how the Israelites remember this. Now let's look at what the rest of Scripture in the Old Testament has to say. And we'll look at several passages, and I've designed these so we can just walk through page by page by page. Psalm 27, verse 1 is where we'll begin. This is King David. King David says, Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Notice there, first, we see that God is light. David says, Yahweh is my light. So the first thing we see here from David is that Almighty God doesn't just possess light or contain light or shine forth light. He is the very essence of light. Turn with me to Psalm 36. Psalm 36, verse 9. Again, this is King David crying out. Look what he says. Psalm 36, verse 9. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. David says, in you, Lord, is life. The fountain of life. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 7. And then he goes on to say, in your light do we see light. David shows us here that God not only is light, but he possesses a light that relates to mankind. We can see truth. We can see light somehow through what God is doing. There's an aspect of God where he shines light. He shines truth. And we're going to look at that later in 2 Corinthians. But God kind of shines light in some way. And David says, through that, we can see light. There's something about the light of God that affects us. Again, this isn't some abstract idea. This proclamation of Christ of being the light has depth. There's significance here that we want to uncover. Turn a couple pages over to Psalm 43. Psalm 43, verse 4. Says, send your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Notice there the psalmist says, Lord, let your light, and he couples it with truth. Let your light and your truth lead me. God's light pertains to us. God's light affects us. The psalmist cries for God's light to lead him. In Psalm 104, verse 2, we read that God covers himself with light. The very essence, the very nature of God is light itself. So looking through these psalms, gather three things. God gives the light. God is the light. Now we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 60 and see that God sent the light. Isaiah chapter 60, a prophecy that is not yet fulfilled. This is Isaiah looking towards eschatological times. He's looking to the end times beyond the millennial kingdom. He has a vision of revelation when we will be in heaven for all eternity. Listen to what he says, chapter 60, verse 19. I love this passage. The sun shall be no more your light by day. He says to the Israelites, that sun that produces all the light for this earth, that will be your light no more. Nor for brightness shall the moon give the light, but Yahweh will be your everlasting light. We have a new element added to this attribute of God as light, and that is, it is everlasting. This is the light that will never fade. This is the light that never grows dim. This is the light that never runs out of energy. It is an everlasting, continuous light from now on to forever and all eternity. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Verse 20, your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. Two times Isaiah repeats it. And notice what he says there in verse 20. The sun goes down. There's a point in time where we don't see the sun. There's a point in time when the moon goes down and we don't see it. Isaiah says, that's not so with God. You will always see him. He never fades. You'll never lose sight of him. When you're in heaven, his glory, his light will shine for all eternity. You will never go to sleep and say, I hope God's glory will be there in the morning. It will forever be shining with full majestic force. God gives the light. God is the light. And forgive me, it's in Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42, where we're going to see that God sent the light. Here's where the rubber meets the road. The Jews know the Old Testament. They would have known these Psalms. They would have known Isaiah's prophecy that God will be the everlasting light. They would have remembered from Exodus 13 that God led them and was their light. They would have known from all the psalmists that God is light and that He gives light. So with all the weight of the Old Testament, here's where Christ comes in the picture. Isaiah chapter 42. Verse 6, I am Yahweh. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, listen, a light for the nations. God said, Israel, I'm going to send you a light. I'm going to send you a light. Now, who is that light? Turn with me to Luke chapter 2, and we'll tie this together. Luke chapter 2, this is the last Old Testament passage we'll look at. That was the last Old Testament passage we'll look at. Luke chapter 2, Jesus is born. He's still a young boy. Beginning in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Notice there, this man Simeon, God came to him. He chose him and said, you're not going to see death until you see the Messiah. That's very important. Look at verse 27. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. Note verse 32. A light for revelation to the Gentiles. Simeon, under the power of the Holy Spirit, said, Isaiah prophesied that God would send a light. And he says, my eyes have seen the light. And that light is Jesus Christ. Now going back to John chapter 8. I hope you have a little bit more of a sense of the weight behind what Christ is saying here. He's not just saying, I'm the light. He's saying, I'm Yahweh. I'm the prophesied one. I'm the everlasting King of Kings. I am that light that the Old Testament spoke of. And he says, I am the light of the world. The only light in this world, the only hope that we have, as we know, is Jesus Christ. So Christ makes a claim to deity. He says, I am, and what follows is a characteristic of that deity. I am Yahweh, and here's one of my characteristics. I am the light of the world. Now notice the transition that Christ makes here. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus says, whoever follows. He gives us here what it means to be a Christian. A Christian is somebody who follows Christ. This is an action. Christianity isn't passive, it's active. Christ says you have to follow. You cannot sit down and follow Jesus. as he moves and as he leads, you have to get up by the power of the Holy Spirit and follow him. That's what it means to be a Christian. It is not passive, it is active. And it must be active because as Christians, we are battling three forces every single day from the moment you wake up to the moment you close your eyes to go to sleep. You're battling the powers of Satan and hell. You're battling the fallen flesh that resists God's will. And you're battling the lure and the pull of this world to conform to itself. Every single day, you have what we call the unholy trinity fighting against you. We cannot be passive as Christians. It is a battle to follow Christ, church. It is a battle. That is why it is so important for us to be in God's word. That is why it's so important for us to remind ourselves that we so desperately need Jesus Christ. As I studied this week for this passage, I fell apart. I said, God, how can I do this? How can I follow you? Every part of me says, don't follow Christ. My body says, do this, do that. Don't go to Christ. When I want to read the Bible, when I want to pray, when I want to do that for Christ, there's a part of me that says, no, do this instead. It's more fun. How can I follow you? It's impossible. But then I remembered, and he showed me, it's not you. It's my spirit working through you. You can't follow me. Only my spirit working in you can produce what I'm looking for in you. Whoever follows me, let those words sink deep into your heart, church. Do you follow Christ? Do you bear the scars of following your king in battle? It's not easy to say no to sin sometimes. Do you just cave in, or do you plant your feet and bear the scars of following Christ? Jesus says, whoever follows me, notice the second action, will not walk. Walking is another action. Do you walk with Jesus? Do you walk with Jesus? Paul, 1 Thessalonians 5:5, I love it. You're children of light. You're children of light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. If you have Christ, you have the light. Paul says, walk as children of light. Don't follow this world. Follow Christ. Follow Jesus. Follow your Savior. It's hard, church. It's hard. But Christ never said it would be easy. He only promised to give us what we would need to get through every battle. Now, in this context, when Christ says, you will not walk in darkness, he's not necessarily talking about how we walk with him, but he's talking about the victory, if you will. Colossians 1:3 really speaks to this, where he says, you have been transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved light. That's what Christ is saying here. You're no longer in darkness, now you're in light. If you have me, you've been transferred to the kingdom of the beloved Son, Jesus Christ. But the Bible has a lot to say about the light in the New Testament. If you remember back in the beginning of John's gospel, we opened up with Jesus as the light. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you have Christ, the darkness has been expelled. Whenever you turn on lights, darkness is expelled. You don't have both. And Jesus is saying here is, if you have me, the darkness is gone. The darkness is gone. Praise God for that truth. Because before I came to Christ, all I knew was darkness. Even in my righteousness that I tried to perform, that's nothing compared to the glorious, purifying, majestic light of God that He places within me when I come to Christ. In Ephesians, Paul urges us to walk. Ephesians 4:1, he says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. This is a daily battle, church. It is an everyday thing. We are walking with Jesus. And we forget that so many times as we walk with Christ, as we live out the Christian life. We forget that it is an everyday battle. Paul urges us, he calls us to walk with Christ. Let me share one more passage with you from 1 John chapter 1. This is the heart of what we're trying to say this morning. Listen. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. And we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Do you see how it is impossible for you to possess Christ and not be radically transformed? God is light. And he is in you. That is going to do something in your life. You're not going to remain in darkness. You say, Pastor Matt, I know I'm saved. I know I'm a Christian. But there's just this one sin. I just can't get over it. It's always there and I just keep falling. Do you know how you get over that? It's not by following the 1, 2, 3 steps of getting sin out of your life. It's by looking to Jesus Christ and reminding yourself of all the glorious, majestic power and blessings that you have through him. The next time Satan dangles sin your way, remind yourself of the glory of Christ, of the eternity that you have awaiting for you. Remind yourself that if you are in Christ, the chains are broken. They're broken, church. Satan cannot pull you down unless you let him. He has no more power over you. You are a child of light. The darkness has no control over you. When you fall, it's not because it was just so strong, I just gave in. You made that decision to fall. And if you want to get out of that rut, you need to remind yourself of who you are. Every Wednesday, God has given me the blessing of sitting on these steps and teaching 30 daycare children the Word of God. And I teach them Bible songs. And one of the songs, their favorite song that we sing, is I'm in the Lord's Army. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom o'er the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's Army. I think that's a children's song that we as adults need to be reminded of. We are warriors, soldiers of Christ. Ephesians 6, Put on the armor of God. We have weapons, church. It's the word of God. We have a shield of faith and a belt of truth and a helmet of salvation. God has given us what we need to fight the battle, because there is a battle, and that battle will never end until we are in glory with Christ. And until that day, may we fight hard. May we say as Paul did in 2 Corinthians 2, we follow our general, we follow our king in triumphal procession. He's already won the battle. The victory is already ours. We have only to be faithful and to fight until he returns one day. Church, I want us to wake up. We're Christians. That's not a light term. That means you go completely against everything this world has to offer. And you fix your eyes on Christ. Are you following him, church? Paul says in Galatians 4, I am in the pain of childbirth until you are conformed into the image of Christ. Paul says, that's my deepest desire, is that you would know Christ and live for him. The very next chapter, he talks about the fruits of the Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that does this. If you're struggling in your walk with Christ this morning, maybe you're trying to do it on your own strength. Maybe you've forgotten the king that you serve. And I'll be the first to say, I forget that too as your pastor. There are times when I have to get on my knees and I need God to shake me and say, do you know who you're worshiping? Do you know who you're following? Do you know who you're reading about? Do you know the name that you are about to stand behind a pulpit and preach about? Is there weight behind that name, Jesus? Or has it just become another part of your vocabulary? There's something that should shake us when we think about God. It needs to awaken us to a holy living. We are children of God, church. Let us live like it by the power of the Holy Spirit. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What's the reward? It's Jesus. The light of life. That's the reward. There's nothing else I can tell you. There's nothing else I want to tell you. There's no better reward. You follow me, you get Jesus. You get the light of life for all eternity. That's our reward. That's what we press on for, to obtain Jesus Christ. Not that we can earn it. But if we follow him and we're truly his disciples, that's what we get. Jesus. I'll close with this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in your hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul is tying this to Genesis. God said, let there be light. When there was nothing, he spoke light into existence. And he says, that's salvation. You have a dark heart that desperately needs Christ. And Paul says, he has shown, he has caused a light in this dark heart to explode, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know Christ, and you know the most precious gift that you can ever attain. And it's only by the work of the Holy Spirit that we can lift, and it's only by the work of God that we can know Christ. If you're here this morning, you say, you know what? I've never experienced that. I've never experienced that. Maybe today you need to ask the light of the world to shine light in your heart. Maybe today you need to get on your knees before the King of Kings and say, Lord, I surrender. Save this wretched soul and conform me into the image of your glorious Son. Maybe today you are saved and you say, you know, I've lost sight of my captain. I've lost sight of my king. I've lost sight of my purpose. And I pray the Holy Spirit would awaken you this morning and encourage you. Maybe some of you need to get right with God this morning. It's a perfect time to do it because we're about to go into communion. Maybe you need to go before God and say, Lord, I've given up. I've laid down my weapons. I've sat down and watched you walk away. Maybe you need to get up, confess your sins before God, and run back to Jesus and follow him. That's my prayer this morning for you. Let's pray. Lord, as your Spirit has it, this is where we were supposed to stay. Right here in verse 12. Oh, Father, the richness of all that Christ is. Father, may you awaken us to this glorious truth. Father, it's hard. It's hard to walk with you at times. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing, your word says. But Father, remind us that we are children of light if we are in Christ. That we follow the general who has already fought the battle, who has already conquered sin, who has already conquered death. And if we are in Christ, we are in the hand of God, and nobody can pluck us out. Father, awaken this church. Awaken your people, no matter where they are in this world today, and put within them a zeal, a passion to live for Christ, to walk in your ways, to cast off the temporary pleasures of this world, and to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. That is our only hope. And Lord, that is all we long for. That is all we desire this morning is you. And if that's not our desire, Lord, put it there. Put it there, Lord. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for what we have seen about Christ. We have learned something about Christ this morning, and that is a priceless treasure. Father, may we live in light of the truth that we have learned this morning, by the power of your Spirit, Lord, work in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.